the Shus Marina or Rav Shlita. Today, in fact, is the yacht site of my dear mother, the Kohen Lebracha, so I wish to give the Shia Le'iloi Nishmasa. Taking risks. The question really is quite a simple one. As far as the halacha is concerned, how far can I go when I take a risk? Am I allowed to go skiing? Do I have to wear a seatbelt? Can I take a general anaesthetic for an operation which I don't really need? Can I fly in an airplane? Can I drive in a car? I mean, should I rather just shut myself away from the whole world, have my food passed through a hatch, which of course is organic, and that way eliminate any possible risks to my safety? What has the halacha got to say about it?
Now,
one shall protect oneself, says the Torah. Those sources done in Mesecha, you may not put anything in your house which can cause harm or injury. There are various halachos which relate to say that you have to look after yourself. Hashem gives you a body which is healthy, and you should protect yourself, and you shouldn't do anything to suffer by it. What is the din? The general pasuk is Shomer Posayim Hashem, which Poskim refer to. This, we say in the Tehillim, we mention it in the Hallel, when we say full Hallel, Shomer Posayim Hashem, Hashem preserves the simple. The meek, those, that's it, those who maybe don't know better. So the question is, when is it relevant to say that one can put oneself in a danger? Who can say it and who can't say it? When does it apply, when doesn't it apply? And is it fit for a person to worry about a danger if one can say Shomer Posayim Hashem? And even if one can say Shomer Posayim Hashem, is one then entitled to say, well, I'm not going to rely on this excuse that God will look after me. I wish to go more strict. So the Gemara does bring a number of examples where the question arises. And those are the subjects of your handout. First two or three pages. And the first handout you've got is from the Gemara in Yevamos. And you've got a vertical line marked in the margin to show the piece that I would like to quote. Tani Rabbivi Kameid Rab Nachman. There are three kinds of women who may use a moch. A moch where a woman was considered in danger if she might conceive, and so she was entitled, the man not entitled of course, but she was entitled to practice a form of conception. Katana. Sorry? Sorry, yeah, sorry. I don't know enough about the subject. Katana, a youngster who is married, but there is a danger at her age that she might have children. Mu'beres, a pregnant woman, a meinika, and a nursing mother. Katana, why? Why katana? Shema tisaber, shema tabus. There is a danger that if she gives birth to a child at such a young age, we'll soon say her age, but we're talking about like an 11-year-old girl, there is a danger that if she conceives that she might die, and therefore she may use this practice. Mu'beres, a pregnant woman, shema tase, Uvros sandal, which is an expression relating to a flat fish, that the baby might become deformed. Menika shema tigmel benot, a nursing mother, there isn't any real danger to the baby, but the fact is she might wean a baby prematurely, owing to a second conception, and therefore that child will be in danger and might die, and therefore the obus. What is a katana? Basically, from 11 till 12, anything less than that, and anything more than that, she may continue as normal, and everything should be alright. Divrei Rabbi Meir. But so is the view of Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim argue with Rabbi Meir. They say, achazu v'achazu meshameshes kedarko. They say it doesn't really matter. There are no real exceptions. They can just carry on as normal, the haleches. And if they conceive, they conceive. And Hashemayim yirachamu. And Hashem will have rachamim on them. He will have mercy on them, and he will look after them, Mishum Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, Shomer Hasoy Hashem. Hashem preserves the simple. That is perhaps the most classic Gemara which is quoted in this case by the Poskim, and there are others as well. That is to say, look, okay, there is a possible danger, but God will look after you, and one is entitled to say, God will look after me, even though we say, Eisom Kamalanes, and don't take too many advantages and so on, Hashem will be looking after me, I don't have to worry. The next Gemara I've got here is also in Yevamos. If you turn over the page, and we're really referring to two different sides, so you've got a bit of each. In the last two lines of the first page, it's talking about Bris Milah. The second last line, Uvamidbar Night Hamalan Mahol. When the Jewish people were in the wilderness after they came out from Egypt, they were not practicing Bris Milah. The Bris Milah was only done afterwards at the time of Yehoshua. Eboy say, I might say, Bishum Chushad Urcha. Because they were weak from the journey, they get tired from the journey, and therefore there was a danger to their health. There was a problem that if you do Bris Milah when people are on a tiring journey, it could be dangerous. And then on the next page, we boy say, Mishum Zilo Noshiv L'Ruach Tafonis. Maybe it's because they did not benefit from the northerly wind. What was this northerly wind? It was a wind which created a pleasant climate. And they did not benefit from this. All those 40 years, that they were in the wilderness, they never benefited from this special wind. My time up. Hashem had a displeasure with the Jewish people. Some say it was because of the golden calf, and others say it was because of the practice of the spies. And therefore, the Jewish people had a rather unpleasant weather. Probably a British weather. And it wasn't pleasant, and therefore, as it was an unpleasant weather, and there was a danger that people in a bad climate would suffer if they would have Bris Milah, so they didn't have Bris Milah. B-boy, same one, there's another opinion, Delo Nivder Anane Kovot, that this, well, related to this northerly wind, in order that it would not scatter the clouds of glory which were there to protect us and to lead us. Amar Rapop, says Rapop, Hilchok, therefore, Yuma de Eva, if it's a cloudy day where the weather is unsettled, the Yuma de Shusa, or where is what is called the southerly wind, which brings bad weather, Lo Marlin on Bay. We do not do Bris Milah. Velo Mesuchrin on Bay. And also we don't do the practice of bloodletting, or blood donations. Because a person might then be in a greater risk. But if not, but nowadays, what's the din? The Doshu Borabin, people don't care. The Doshu Borabim literally is people just tread on it. People don't care, the weather's like this, the weather's like that. They don't bother listening to the weather forecast before Bris Milah takes place. So what's the din? Shomer Pasayim Hashem. Hashem preserves the simple. But that is to say, that at the end of the day, alright, you might take certain precautions, but if you don't, many people do it. This is a principle here. The Doshu Borabim, it's a common practice that people do in any case. People generally go in cars, therefore it's safe to go in a car. That's the bottom line which I'm going to get to. To Doshu Borabim. So we say, Shomer Posoyim Hashem. Hashem preserves the simple. Then we have another Gemara which is from Avodah Zorah. And I should say these are not the only Gemaras, there are certain others, but we'll use this one as well. And that one is also marked with a line in the margin. Omar Shmuel. May tif tif. We're talking now about dripping water. There is a din that if water is left uncovered, especially overnight, there is a danger a snake might have come and put its tongue in it, put venom in it, and poisoned it, and therefore you may not drink unattended water which has been uncovered. So the question the Gemara asks here, I beg your pardon? Well,
that's a plan.
Well,
isn't there Kabbalistic things about
our friend? Yeah, I'm not saying that there are snakes in Hendon. There is a basic halacha about uncovered water. It's true that where there are no snakes, there is no danger, but there may be other things which can contaminate your water, and therefore one will avoid drinking it if it's unattended. But it's true, if there are no snakes, likely, then you don't have the risk.
But I remember letting you know this, because I was a group in Russia once, in which he said, although there's no risk, someone was machmer on himself, double and rough and all that stuff.
Yes, because it's not only snakes, there can be other dangers as well. We don't see what very small miniature insects might get into it and so on. We might protect ourselves. There are some people in the alternative health industry who will tell you that most illnesses come from parasites, from very tiny creatures which you can't even see, which get into your drinking water, which come onto your meats and fish and so on, and those are causing illnesses. So I'm not here to Puskin. Everything I'm saying might be la locha, but the lola master. Says the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, make tiftif, ein bo mishum giloy. If the water is dripping, we do not apply the rule of uncovered water, which you may not drink. You may drink it. Why? So the Farshim say it's because the snake is frightened away when the water is dripping. Omar Rav Ashi v'uta ovid tif lahadei tif tif. We're only talking about when it's continuously dripping the whole time, and then it's creating a noise and movement which will frighten the snake away. Omar Achia Barashi Omar Shmuel. Bita Eino. The mouth of the fig, that is to say, when a fig is picked and off the stalk and then it leaves a very tiny opening in the fig, ein bo mishum giloy, we don't have to worry that an insect will go inside it. Mishum giloy, because it's uncovered. A person is allowed to eat grapes and figs at night time, it's been left for a while. We do not worry, because it says in the Pasuk, Shomer Fasoim Hashem. Hashem preserves the simple. So the question is, am I allowed to eat food with insecticide on it? We might know for sure that the insecticide will harm my health. But there is a principle now which is emerging from what we've discussed. First of all, the Doshu Barabim. Lots and lots of people do it. It's an accepted norm. And the risk is very remote and is not established. So we say, Shomer Pasoim Hashem. Now there are a number of Meforashim who look at these Gemaras and come out with slightly different interpretations. Rabbi Akiva Rega, in his Tshuvas, in the first part of his Tshuvas, Perek Ayin Aleph, he says that the rule of Shomer Pasoim Hashem is, even if the risk is great, even if you've established that there is a substantial risk, but you nevertheless are faced with doing it and you have a choice, he rules that you can go ahead with that risk. It is a view which is not generally looked upon with favour by other poskim. The most applicable one is probably the Achiezer, Chaim Ezer Krajewski, who writes in Eben Ezer, in his first volume, Perek Kaf Gimel. He says, what's going on here? If the Torah tells you to look after your health, to look after yourselves, are you not meant to take any precautions? Of course you're meant to take precautions. Alright, in these particular cases which the Gemara mentions, you are allowed to go in for those risks. So the woman with and so on, because biologically it's unlikely that she will become pregnant in any case at such a young age of 11. And since it's unlikely she'll become pregnant in any case, then she can go ahead and assume that it's not likely to happen. And we don't say that where there is a big risk, you can say Shomer Pasoim Hashem. If it's a very common practice, and he writes that it's a common practice for women not to use a moch, and there is a very small risk, then it is okay to go in for that risk, and we apply the principle of Shomer Pasoim Hashem. There is another shuva of the Binyan Sia, who is Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, who says there is no real difference between a big risk and a small risk. He asks the question, why is it that people bench Gomel after they've been crossing the sea or they've been going into a desert? Alright, there are other reasons why one might bench Gomel. If you've been into prison, you'll bench Gomel. If you've been very sick, you'll bench Gomel. But those are things you might not be able to have done much about. Well, I don't know about the prison, but anyway. if you are faced in those circumstances, you can't help it, so you bench Gomel. But he says, crossing the sea or going into a desert, surely you had the choice in the first place whether to do such a thing. And from this, the Avnei Nezer says that l'chachila, you should therefore go. If there is an established danger of going into a desert and crossing the sea, then don't go in the first place, l'chachila. And b'diemid, if you did, okay, then you bench Gomel. Says the Noda Behuda, from this he would say that you will only take on these risks of crossing the sea or going into the desert if you have to go for a business trip. You know, business is business. This is a Jewish topic, of course. And when it comes to business, Karnosa, there is a justification for going in for greater risks than those you might otherwise have done. After all, the question can be, there are questions in the poskim. Are you allowed to go out and be a hunter? Are you allowed to be a coal miner? Are you allowed to work in nuclear waste disposal? In all these, you might be putting yourselves in substantial risks. And there are poskim who have to write about this. The Noda Biblia says, if it's for business, then you are allowed to go in for a greater risk. Now, so from the Binyan Tzir, he's saying, if there's not yet an imminent danger, and the danger is only slight and remote, and he says less than 50% chance, and it's commonplace that everybody's doing it, then it's okay. So what's the consensus? The consensus is that what do people perceive to be a common danger, and what do people perceive not to be a common danger? Well, let's discuss at the end of the show while we discuss a few more aspects, because I knew that I might get caught on some of these questions. I don't think I would go into space, but first of all, let's look at the Namukhe Yosef. You don't have the handout in front of you, but he says in the name of the Ritva that the whole concept of Shem Pesem Hashem is a permission. You have a permission to rely on God's help. We don't say Ein Sem Kamalan Neis, but it's not an ideal situation. Shem Pesem Hashem doesn't mean, okay, you can do it and you don't have to worry whatsoever. It means that you are entitled to rely on it, but the ideal is not to rely on it. Namely, if one is going to circumcise on this bad weather day, Horoshus Biyodo, okay, he's got a permission. And of course, we have to remember that we might be talking about Bris Mila on the eighth day, and we might be talking about when the eighth day is a Shabbos, and especially breaking Shabbos in order to do the Bris Mila. And you can't do the Mila Bismano if you delay it by a day, but even then, if you're worried about the weather, that baby might be harmed, you are still entitled. You still have that permission to delay the Bris Mila, he says. But if you want to carry out the Bris Mila on the day itself, despite that risk of bad weather, then Horoshus Biyodo, one can do it. And then one has automatically the mitzvah of Bismano. So the word he uses is ro'oi. It is befitting not to carry out the risk. Ro'oi. And this word ro'oi is looked upon by other poskim as being a symbol of something on this. He says it's better not to rely on Shomer Pasai. It's better to take the ideal and say, well, I won't engage myself in any risk whatsoever. Ro'oi. So from this, Rav Meir Schlesinger writes, from this word ro'oi, it means that really each person has a consent to do whatever they want. It means that any person can make a judgment and say, I'm prepared to take that risk. And if a person does that, he's acting within the halacha. If a person says, I'm not prepared to take that risk, he's also complying with the halacha. It's like the fellow asks the rabbi a question and says, look, he says this and I say that, and the rabbi says, yes, you're right. And then the other fellow says, yes, but I say that, and he says, yes, you're right as well. Well, you can't. Someone says, you can't both be right. So he says, yes, you're right as well. In this particular case, everybody's right. If it says ro'oi, you can take the risk, or you can say, I'm not going to take it.
If there's an unstable wall, you're not allowed to walk near it because you can't stop the human angel.
Oh yeah, you have to take lots of precautions, and we're going to. If the risk is imminent, yes, you have to be more careful. We're really talking about when the risk is more remote. So the question, which has really been brought up a lot by Poskim on this subject, is one relating to smoking. Now, there are any smokers here, don't worry, I'm not going to preach at you, but we are simply going to look at what is written by one or two poskim. And surprisingly, there is quite a big difference between what is written by Rav Moshe Feinstein and what is also written by some other poskim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, whose tshuva you do have in front of you on the last page of your handout, in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Sheni, Siman Ayin Vov, Im Yesh Isur B'Ishun Sigarios. Is it prohibited to smoke cigarettes? Unfortunately, we see a lot of smoking going on nowadays in the yeshiva world. And therefore, it is important to understand what is the halacha. We have to first of all look at the date that he wrote this. He wrote this in Tovshin Mem Aleph, which I think is 1981, when already there was public knowledge about the dangers of smoking. And I'm going to also refer to a tshuva, which you don't have in front of you, Rav Tzitz Eliezer, who wrote 1 year later. If we then read a little bit of his tshuva, Hine Litzin Klal Hoda Omru Shomer Pasvayim Hashem. He writes this to Dr. Meir Rosner, who is well known for writing books on medicine and Jewish law, where there is a chashash sakanto. Third line, Af shevadai v'stam chashash. Certainly when there's a definite danger, sakanto osu v'smoke hazeh, one may not rely on this posuk. Af in yivzdam in ka gavna v'dove sheishbo chashash sakanto v'lo zirbo yinshi. It's something which people are not really careful about. Nira koshet, d'v'dove d'ikha harbe shlo koshinu. It seems quite simple that if it's something where many people are not worried about it, and it's not hard for them, libriosom, for their health, kolum at all, you go and have them in a ochin, like lots of different foods, sho'im shinenin mehem v'yoseh t'vash shoshamno, like people who eat very oily meats, which could be harmful for one's health. I mean, if a person wants to eat 5 steaks for breakfast, there's nothing in halacha to stop him. What's the deal? Or the wrong harif and biyosel, some things which are very sharp to eat. But it does affect the health of certain people. There is no prohibition. To eat them, it's sad chashash sakon. One doesn't have to worry about the danger. Most people who eat these foods do not suffer the danger. I'm a Rambam Perek Dalad Nedeyas. First Rambam, he refers to foods there which are good for the health of the body, and also which are bad for you. The Lokasav Beloshen Isur. He doesn't though talk about Isurim. He's giving advice. The Rambam talks about eating sharp foods in the winter, not so sharp foods in the summer, and so on. But these are not Isurim. He's giving advice. Nothing which shalshu chachomim. Because of basos michshal tishbo sakonas nefoshos. Not anything to do with taking away michshal where there's a danger. Sakonas nefoshos, like we say in Perek Yudalof, Mirotzeh, Chanukhadalosh, Osar, Nicham, Chomin Asiro, like we just spoke about a dangerous structure. Of course, you don't walk next to a dangerous structure which might fall down on you. Afidushu chashash, like Latzmo, even if it's just a danger for yourself. Latzmo, Maisa, Dekra, Deshomelachor, Shmo, Nashachor. As the Torah says, look after yourself. Do not put anything which can cause harm in your way. And where there's only even a chashash, a danger, where the rabbis made the rule, makin makas mardus, where the rabbis can make you chayv malchus if you engage in a danger which you shouldn't engage in. So we'll skip a few words and go to the top of the next page. A person must distance himself. All these things. It's not shaykh to actually forbid them properly. These are things which are things people get benefit from. And those people do not get harmed from them. And you can't always be so careful. When people are engaged in their parnosa, and there are certain dangerous things they have to do. Or where there are things that poor people are not particularly careful about, because they have to make their money. They're counting the pennies. We can arouse people to be aware of any possible dangers. What might be good for them, what might be bad for them, etc. So on these things, next line, at the moment, on these sorts of things, compared to these things, ishun cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, she'elu harugilim b'zeh ne'enim b'zeh, the people, they have benefit from it, ma'od, u'mitstaring, and they feel tzah she'elam cigarettes, they can't smoke, odio se'michson minei ochnitom, just from not having certain foods, if you smoke so often, the gamble is man cuts off for a small period of time when they're hungry. And he says the danger which might come from this is only a small one. He talks about the illness of cancer and other machlos rachmona litzlon, which might come from this, but nevertheless, what is saying? I'm allowing you to smoke. We can rely on Shomer Pasai Vashem.
He may not have learned at the time, but he's the full of conditions.
Right, well, it's only about... Well, there were already government health warnings. Only about 2 or 3 years ago, they came out with some specific evidence that for every cigarette one smokes, it knocks 11 minutes off one's life. Okay.
That's an average.
Yeah.
Everybody smokes. But the majority of people who get also a little bit, it is the majority.
How much is the church?
Are you sure it's the majority?
Right, if you look though at its conclusion, if you look at the last paragraph, if you look at the last paragraph,
Okay. Yeah,
well, let me finish. If you look at the last paragraph, he says, nevertheless, it's befitting lechol ish, but the Bnei Torah, especially Bnei Torah, shelo la'asheh, not to smoke. Me'achshu chashash sakanta, because there is a worry about sakana. Yeah, it's not something that people have to do. It's not something for panosa, etc. The gam below inyan chashash sakana yesh leser struggle because if one becomes involved in it, addicted to it, probably the right translation. So avadai ein lahamshich atzmei l'ribo talos v'hanoas. A person should avoid things where he lusts and desires things. Hello, adarabam. No contrary, no roi l'chol avam amai atzmei talos v'tanugim misayim. A person should limit himself in talos. So his conclusion is it's better not to. But the main thrust of what he says is shema pasayim Hashem. In the following year, there was a tshuva written by the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg. And he violently disagrees with what Rav Moshe writes. He says we find government health warnings are written on the packets of cigarettes. He refers to them coming out that way from America. He talks about various illnesses and he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzayach that the rabbis forbade anything which can involve sakonos nefoshos. Quoting a number of sources, he writes a very long spiel about this and says in his conclusion, this is an issel Torah to smoke. A similar conclusion was reached by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who didn't actually write a proper tshuva, but he is quoted in the Sefer Nishmas Avrohom, written by Rav Abraham, who says that it is osur min haTorah to smoke. So that is a treatise for you on the subject of smoking. How do we deal with this? I'm going to move on to another topic, and that is something which is asked by the Trumas Hadeshan. There is a halacha in the Rambam that a person may not marry a woman who has been widowed twice. If a woman has buried two husbands, never, one should avoid marrying her, because you don't know whether you might be the next one. There are some who say three times, but the Ikar Lochet says that one doesn't. If she's been married twice and she's been widowed twice, one does not marry her. It doesn't say it the other way around, by the way. It doesn't strangely say that if a man has buried two wives, then a woman shouldn't marry him. There's no such thing. Why there is that difference, I don't know. I'll leave that to your imagination. But the Trumas Hadeshan does ask on this, because he says that he has seen Bnei Torah Tamidei Chachomim marrying women who have already been widowed twice. And what's the deal? Should he say to them, get out from this place and divorce this woman, or what? And he says one should be makbid not to marry a woman who has unfortunately suffered this dilemma, but he has seen many who do it. So he says there's only a sopan hashash. There is the principle of Shema Pasayim Hashem, that God preserves the simple, and he has seen that there are people who have married such widows who have lived long lives and they've had children, sons and daughters, and therefore he wouldn't suggest to them in any way whatsoever to terminate the marriage. But lechatchila, there is a worry there. Yeah? Okay. Now, so there is a question which arises from the way the Trumas Hadeshan writes, because is a Talmid Chacham somebody who knows the din, or somebody who knows the pitfalls, or somebody who's a specialist in medicine and knows what the statistical chances are, should they be more careful than somebody who is, quote, simple, unquote? Shema Pasayim Hashem is talking about God who preserves the simple. So the Amshal Shlomo, the Marshal, says that nowadays we're not experts on whether something might be dangerous or not so dangerous, whether it's a cloudy day or not a cloudy day, whether it might affect a circumcision. So he says, as we're not experts, we can all rely on Shema Pasarim Hashem. Hashem preserves us, simple. Hashem preserves us and looks after us miraculously in hidden ways. So the Ritva says, this is a heter to rely always on Shema Pasarim Hashem. The Marshal says, it's not simply that it's a heter. We're in a situation, that is the metzius of it, where we got no real choice. That's the issue on itself. What if a person is doing a mitzvah, and as a result of doing that mitzvah, he is putting himself in danger? A person might be driving an ambulance very fast. So there's a Gemara, Pesachim Daf Ches, talks about doing bedikas chometz where there are snakes. And so a person might be in danger, and the Gemara says, Shiluchei mitzvah einon nizokim. People are out to do a mitzvah, do not come to do harm. But that is not always the case, because there have been cases where people went to do mitzvahs and they did come to do harm. So what's the deal? The principle is that only if the possible danger is very infrequent. If it's a place where they're not likely to be snakes, that may be okay. But if there is a frequent danger of snakes or scorpions, then one does avoid it. What if one is not well and one wants to fast on Yom Kippur? Can one say, ah, God will look after me, Hashem preserves the simple? Obviously one should ask the Rav or the doctor first. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, listen to what they say. But if a person has a minor ailment and he's not well and he says, I'm going to fast, then Rav Shlomo Zalman says the principle of Shema Pasarim Hashem does apply and a person can fast. But if the doctor says you have to eat, obviously you have to eat. And there are people who the Yetzer Hara is telling them to fast, because, you know, when they get to elderly and sickness at that stage of life where they can't really do many sins, but what does the Yetzer Hara tell them to do? The Yetzer Hara says to them, go and kid yourself. And so they say, I want to fast. And therefore, obviously, you have to listen to what the doctor is saying. The Noda Behilda says it is permitted for a person to be a hunter, even though that person might come to danger by being a hunter, because that is for his panosa. Whether, therefore, that might apply for going down in tunnels or going to fight for the war against Iraq or something like that, I'm not going to make an answer.
If you hire some labour and you pay him, you don't pay him before nightfall. Is that not because he's put his life in danger for you? So you must reward him, isn't
it? Yes, that is true. A person who's undergoing a risk, you're paying for the risk factor. Yeah. But it is written in Choshen Mishpat, in Tov Kaf Zayin Sif Yud, that one who endangers one's life without having to do so at all is Chayav Malchus, and the Beis Din can punish him. So the Shema Pasayim Hashem says the Shutz Mishnah Halachas, Chelek Hei, that it's only a very remote danger. But it does bring us back to that word ro'oi, what is fitting, that there is a certain discretion involved. Now I know somebody who's 90 years old and smokes 10 cigarettes a day. But I think he's the exception rather than the norm. That we do have convincing, compelling evidence before us that there are certain harmful things such as smoking which do endanger most people's health. And nowadays it's much more accepted that way people smoke outside the buildings. I mean seatbelts. 20 years ago people didn't drive with a seatbelt. So you could have said, Shema Pasarim Hashem, it wasn't necessary to wear a seatbelt because most people did not wear a seatbelt. Now that most people do wear a seatbelt, and it's regarded as dangerous, and the insurance will deduct their reward for you if you did not wear a seatbelt, then the halacha will seem to be that you do have to wear a seatbelt. The question is asked, if you engage in, if you want to have plastic surgery, you want to change the shape of your nose, and you have to have a general anaesthetic, and there's a slight danger with a general anaesthetic, that person might not wake up from it. On this, Reb Moshe Feinstein says, yes, you are allowed to. Especially if the reason for your plastic surgery is to improve your appearance for parnosa chances or whatever, or shidduch chances, then a person may engage in this and we can apply the rule of Shema Pasarim Hashem. But, you know, we can also ask questions like, do you have to buy the most modern car with all the airbags, the side airbags and the rear airbags with daytime lights? There are these questions which arise. How far does one have to go? And I'm not really in a position to answer those sorts of questions. I'm not paid by Volvo or Toyota to advertise any of their models, but as a rule, one does whatever one can to eliminate one's risk. Within reason. You may travel on a train. I don't know about British Rail or the Central Line, but you may travel on a train because most people do it. It's an accepted normal thing to do. The risk is regarded as remote by most members of the public, and we are paskening according to the way that in the general population that people behave. And it's normal to drive in a car, and it's accepted to drive on a motorway, and therefore the halacha allows it. If a person wants to be machmir and say, I'm not going to, harashus biyado, he's entitled. But he doesn't have to. Well, I can't leave this year without saying something about Pesach, which is next week, so I was wondering how I might connect up this theme, which we've spoken out today, with the subject of Pesach. The snakes, okay. We've spoken about the Dikas Chometz as well. Yeah.
I'll put in matches through the letterbox if you want to have it at home.
The whole idea of us coming out from Mitzrayim, Bechazek Yod HaTzion HaShem in Mitzrayim, is that we were helpless. We were reliant on Hashem to help us, to save us. He brought us out with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, because we had no choice but to rely on a superpower, on the superpower, to bring us out. The truth is that wherever we are, whenever we are helpless in our environment without Hashem looking after us continuously, day by day. That every single day, Hashem is Hadesh Betula B'cholam Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis, and he's looking after us in Hashgacha with Bitachon, what we have in him. He's giving us Parnosah, and day by day we trust in him. And we always have to have that trust. And what we're doing in this principle of Shema Pasam Hashem is we might think that we are slightly letting go of that protection which Hashem is giving us. But the truth of the matter is that we're always 100% within this protection. Whether we're coming out of Egypt and crossing the sea with the miraculous events that happened, or whether we are nowadays just driving in a simple car on a slow road, we are always in his hands, under his protection, and we are forever grateful to him for that. Thank you very much. If I may, yes?
Is there an Indian that if you go into like a war zone, although Hashem can protect you, in some way there can be limitation on what he does.
Yes, but we're always davening to him for his hashgacha to look after us. But to actually enter a war zone unnecessarily may well be something one should not do.